Hello, Ogilvy Daystage. How is everybody? Are we awake yet? Jet-lagged? I'm not. I live here, but I'm tired. I'm pre-caffeinated. Welcome, everybody. This is a great crowd for our kickoff of the Ogilvy Book Author Stage. We're going to be here throughout South by Southwest Interactive with the best in book author talks around technology, around marketing, around culture, and the back end of technology, which is how to build stuff. So all good things coming. Welcome to South by Southwest. That's the first and only rain joke I'm going to use, because we really do need the rain, but not quite the sun you may have been looking for, but it's going to be a good week, and we're glad to have you. We're glad to have the Ogilvy folks here have their support of South by Southwest, and best off, we're really excited to announce David Meerman Scott coming back to South by Southwest. This is his fifth appearance. He might correct me on that, but every time we're glad that he's kicking things off, because high energy. He's rocked us with The Grateful Dead and thoughts about marketing and crowdsourcing and what we can learn from what they've done and what others have done in the past. Other books include The New Rules of Marketing, Real-Time Marketing, and Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead. His new book is Newsjacking, and it, in and of itself, is already generating news. Welcome back to the South by Southwest Book Author Stage, David.
All right. Thanks so much. South by Southwest. You got to love that. So let's talk about newsjacking, the art of injecting your ideas into breaking news. Super Tuesday was Tuesday. That's when we heard all these Republican candidates talking about sex and all sorts of other strange topics. So did you see President Obama chose Super Tuesday afternoon at 1:30 to do his first press conference in 6 months? President Obama newsjacked the Republican candidates, because then in Google News that afternoon, right next to each other are the Republicans and President Obama. The next day, newspaper, there are the Republicans with their big day and President Obama there as well. That's newsjacking. That is newsjacking, and you can do exactly the same thing. This is so cool, this idea of newsjacking. It's the idea of, okay, there's something really interesting going on. For example, the iPad launch. And you can then create a blog post, do a video, and inject your idea into the news. If you haven't seen this, it's fantastic, from The Onion. The headline reads, "This article generating thousands of dollars in ad revenue simply by mentioning new iPad." So here's how you do this. You think of some news that's happening, or in a serendipity way, you find it as it's happening. And then you create a strategy for how you're going to get your ideas into the marketplace around this particular piece of news. And then you instantly, and that's the key, it's quick, you instantly get your idea into the market. And that's the key, is that speed. So few companies can do this, because, and so few people, because they're not geared to speed. Here's TIO Insurance, an insurance company out of Australia. They got wind of President Obama coming down to Australia about 3 months ago to do some speeches and meet with members of the government in Australia. So they did something pretty cool. They gave President Obama a free crocodile insurance policy. If he's eaten and killed by a crocodile, his Michelle Obama and the kids would get $50,000. Not bad, huh? And here's what's great about this. The media loved it. I mean, oh my God, the members of the media thinking, here comes Obama, what in the world are we going to write about? Yeah, he's here, and he's here, and he's here, and he's the President of the United States, yeah, and so what? Oh, and if he gets eaten by a crocodile, he's insured. 4,969 media hits. I was in PR for many years before I started writing books and giving speeches for a living. It would have taken me 2 decades to get 4,969 media hits. And this was done in one afternoon with one little media release. The challenge is to act now. Act now before that window of opportunity falls away. Here's the chart for breaking news. In some cases, it can be very quick how fast the news breaks and then trails off. For example, a sports team that wins, really quick. It can be a little bit longer, something like, for example, the new iPad. It can be incredibly long, like the Republican campaign for the nomination for the presidency. But your challenge is to newsjack exactly when reporters are looking for more information. Here's another, as long as we're talking about Washington, this is my last political example. I love political examples, though. So do you remember Anthony Weiner, you know, the appropriately named Anthony Weiner? So do you remember, he's the Peter tweeter, if you forgot who he was. So Anthony Weiner gets caught with his pants down, and he had sent these photographs around, and he said, yes, I did send a photo. Later on, he said the picture was of me, and I sent it. Anyone who saw the photo, by the way, knows he's a left-leaning politician. So anyway, Weiner, you know, he had to resign, right? He had to resign. The very day that Anthony Weiner resigned, in fact, it was like an hour later, some clever person decided, I'm going to be the second paragraph of all the stories that the news media is writing. You know, they have to write these stories. They all have the same data. He resigned. So Larry Flint of Hustler magazine, on his blog, offered Anthony Weiner the job of vice president of Hustler's internet division. He generated 244 media hits as a result of doing that. Getting the news into the marketplace requires speed and agility. But there's so few companies and people who are able to do this. The reason is because organizations are focused on this long-term planning mode. They start with data that they collect from last year and last quarter and last month, and last week, and then they generate a campaign. You know, note the war metaphor on a campaign. And they create this campaign for their marketing, their public relations, for next quarter, for next year. Oh, they have their new product announcement that's coming in January of 2013. Oh, and I think we're going to start a China office. That's probably going to be in 2014. We should have a campaign for our new China policy. And that's what they do. They spend all this time on this long-term planning of their marketing and their PR campaigns. The problem with that is that those people forget about right now. Friday, 2:05 Central Time. They forget about now. Now is when your opportunity is. So those companies, 99% of them, in my guess, have to unlearn what they've learned about generating attention. They have to change the way they're generating attention. And this stuff works for anybody. Here's a B2B company. A lot of people say to me, oh, this doesn't work in B2B, which is an excuse for why they don't do it. So here's a B2B company, Eloqua. Great newsjacking. This is one of my favorite examples. Oracle, this giant software company, acquires Eloqua's biggest competitor. Eloqua's in the marketing automation software business. So Oracle writes this crazy corporate speak press release about this acquisition. And it's like, we have acquired market to lead and you will like it. And I don't know what this reminds you of, but it reminds me of a North Korean style announcement. And so they put this thing out and it reminds me exactly of this. The dear respected Kim Jong-un, Vice Chairman of the Central Military Commission of the Workers' Party of Korea, assumed the supreme commandership of Korean People's Army at the behest of leader Kim Jong-il. Snooze, snooze, snooze. That's what Oracle did. So imagine you're a member of the media or you're an analyst and you're trying to write content. You're trying to write a story about this acquisition. You've got nothing to go on. All you've got is this three-sentence North Korean-style announcement. We've acquired the company and terms were not disclosed. The CEO of Eloqua, a guy called Joe Payne, within 2 hours of this announcement, wrote a blog post on the Eloqua blog that was titled, Oracle Joins the Party. And it was all about how great this acquisition is for the marketing automation software business. Wow, how cool is this? And he provided some great quotes. He provided some statistics. and he provided all kinds of valuable information for the mainstream media and analysts and bloggers to write about. Now they have the North Korean-style three-sentence announcements from Oracle, and they have all the context provided by the CEO of the competitor. As a result, as you can imagine, everybody writes about Joe Payne as the second or third paragraph of this a particular story. There's Bloomberg Business Week. Customer Think is an important blog. PC World and Information World all writing about this as well. And then they got very clever over at Eloqua. They newsjacked in a different way. They then sent a link to that blog post that Joe wrote to every single customer of Market to Lead, the company that was acquired, that they had in their database. And then they sent this email out linking people back to the Eloqua blog post. Remarkably, because Oracle was in long-term campaign planning mode, they hadn't gotten around to telling their customers that their acquisition had even happened yet. Oh my God, you're finding out about the acquisition from the competitor's CEO who wrote a blog post about what it means? Oops, that's a big problem. They generated over $1 million worth of new business from this one blog post. Imagine that, $1 million worth of new business from one blog post, because they did it quickly, because they did it right now, because they were open to the serendipity that their biggest competitor was acquired, and the CEO, despite it being a 9 o'clock at night and the fact that he had had one martini in his system at that point, which he told me, was able to get this blog post out. On the web, you are what you publish. If you're tweeting, this is an interesting tweet sometimes. My Twitter ID is on the bottom, and if you could use newsjacking as a hashtag, that would be incredibly awesome. So this real-time power law curve is at work. On the web, you are what you publish. If you're publishing great information, you're great. If you're publishing nothing, you're nothing. If you're publishing, excuse my language, crap, that's exactly what you are on the web. But so many companies are fearful. They're fearful about doing this because it's so new. The idea of not running things by the lawyers first, the idea of not running things by the agencies first, the idea of doing it very, very quickly, even on a weekend, even during South by Southwest, even on a Thursday night at midnight, is very foreign to many companies. And they say to me many times after I speak to them, oh, David, I don't know about this real-time stuff. I don't know about this newsjacking stuff. What's the ROI of doing this? What's the return on investment for doing this? So I'm like, oh, my God, the ROI thing? Are you kidding me? You want to talk about the ROI thing before you're going to engage in newsjacking? So I say, okay, I have a cynical response to this. I know it's kind of cynical, but here's what I do. And let's play along in this game. This might be fun. I ask people, how many of you, and let's do this. I know what the answer is going to be, the first question. It's going to be 100. How many of you people in the room have a mobile device with you right now? iPhone, iPad, whatever. Okay, looks like almost everybody. That's cool. How many of you have companies, if you're running your own company or you work for a company, that pays for the ongoing fee for your mobile device? How many people have that? Raise your hand. It's about 70%. That's true of all the audiences I speak to. Now, here's the big question. How many of your companies have calculated the return on investment of your iPhone, your iPad, your BlackBerry? I want to see the hands really high. I knew it. It's zero. Absolutely none. So here's what happens. The CEOs say, I need to know the ROI of your real-time communications through newsjacking and all that other stuff. And I say, good, show me the real-time, show me the ROI of the BlackBerry that you've got in your pocket and all the iPhones that you've given out to all the salespeople, and they can't do it. They won't let me get away with that cynical answer, though. Sadly, I wish they would. So what I did was I actually did a calculation of the ROI of doing real-time communications. What I did was I reached out to the Fortune 500 companies. Actually, it was the Fortune 100. The top 100 companies in the United States. And I said, how many are doing real-time communications? I had a methodology for figuring that out. Turns out 28% of the Fortune 100 companies, 28 out of 100, are doing real-time communications of the sort we've talked about for the last 10 minutes or so. They're tweeting live. They're engaging people instantly. They don't have to run stuff by the lawyers and whatnot. I have a list of all of them. If you see me later, I can tell you how to get the list. And it turns out that the 28% of the Fortune 100 companies engaged in real-time communications during the roughly one-year period of time I measured had stock prices that grew by 3% during a period of time that the S&P 500 declined by about 1%, and companies that did not engage in real-time communications went down just around 2%. So I say to the bosses, you want to have a better stock price? Then you should do what the companies that have a better stock price are doing and engage in real-time communications. I know that's not causal, but still, it's proof in my mind that this stuff works. The idea here is that social media, Twitter and blogs and Facebook and all that, those are just the tools. It's this mindset that so many companies find difficult to get over, this real-time mindset, that's the biggest challenge. So what I tell people if they want to engage in this to go back and do, particularly those companies that are fearful, is number one, they need somebody who's in charge of today. Because so many companies have people who are in charge of the far future, but what about today? And that person should be you and your organization if you're trying to get this stuff going. You need guidelines, like IBM has guidelines. You need to implement systems to know what's going on. I think it's like a bond trading desk to have the systems in place that allow you to be able to see what's going on in real time and be able to react to it. Again, this chart I'm happy to get you later if you're interested. Here's an example of an organization that has sort of a war room to take care of their real-time communications. The most difficult part for people, however, is to develop a mindset. To develop that real-time mindset that they're going to be able to do it. And they make excuses all the time. I'm a big company, I'm a small company, I'm a B2B company, I'm a nonprofit, whatever it is. So here's another example, another great example. Do you remember when Sir Richard Branson's house on Necker Island caught on fire maybe 6 months ago? Burning inferno. And even their family tortoise had trouble getting out. And Kate Winslet carries Sir Richard Branson's mother to safety. What an incredibly feel-good, fantastic story, saving her life. So every member of the media has the basics. They can all use the photograph that was run around. They all know exactly what happened. But what in the world is the second paragraph to this story? In comes the London Fire Brigade with a classic newsjack. On their website, they offered Kate Winslet firefighter training. And this came out about 1 hour after this news broke. Now they have a second paragraph. Now news organizations like the BBC can say something else. They can talk about the fire, then they can talk about the London Fire Brigade's tips for safety. And this generated a staggering 1,787 media hits. Again, that's a decade worth of traditional PR for most companies who are doing this sort of, you know, pitching the media routine. The challenge is to develop your real-time mindset. And it always comes back to me, what about you, smarty pants? What are you doing here with this stuff? You know, it's always a challenge being a marketer talking about these ideas, because how good are you if you can't make it work yourself, right? So one thing I did, my publisher and editor in the back there from Wiley, Matt, raise your hand. He's not watching. There he is. So I said to Matt, let's release Newsjacking, which is, by the way, an ebook only, iPad, Kindle Fire, and Barnes & Noble Nook, and a bunch of other places. Let's release it on the same day that the Kindle Fire is coming out, which is exactly what we did. So Newsjacking came out the very same day as Kindle Fire. As far as we know, it was the first ebook optimized for the Kindle Fire. And then that generated me a bunch of press around it, because people like Forbes and Gallicat eBook News, or the companies and organizations that write about eBooks, were interested in it because I newsjacked the Kindle Fire release. So I've got another newsjack I'm working on right now. And I don't know how this is going to go. I've got another roughly a little bit more than a month to plan out and plot out what I want to do around this. I'm eager to hear any suggestions. If you've got any at some point, you know, see me later or shoot me an email or maybe help me to newsjack it somehow. Here's the deal. This looks like the most fantastic movie. It's premiering on Sunday here. Marley. It's a comprehensive documentary about Bob Marley, who I love very much. And the general release is on 4/20, you know, of course, right? I'm unfortunately not going to be able to make the premiere, but I am going to be eagerly waiting for 4/20. Here's why I am going to newsjack this one. Now we'll see this here first. I have the only known photographs in the entire world of Bob Marley's last concert. There is the first time that picture has ever been seen in public. It is used in the film. If you actually go to the Marley film trailer, and it's up online, find it online and watch the Marley trailer. That's the very first still photograph they put up. When I was 20 years old, my friends and I drove from where I went to school, Kenyon College, to Pittsburgh, saw Bob Marley's last concert. Of course, we didn't know it at the time. And it's like, you know, I prepared myself well for the trip. It's a good thing I could actually focus the camera. But I got some pretty, that's a pretty darn good shot, wouldn't you say? And it's in the freaking movie. How cool is that? Now, I got to get myself some ink from this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Maybe you can help me with an idea. If I can't get some ink from having the only known photograph of Bob Marley's last concert on the day that the Bob Marley movie comes out on 4/20, that's pretty hopeless, wouldn't you say? And you, same thing with you. You can make this happen, too. You can do this. Stop making those excuses. I'm David Meerman Scott. I've got a book signing here later, and this has been Newsjacking. Thanks so much. Thank you.